or it may be a struggle to get there, but if you're called to do it, then be faithful to the call. Amen? Because we're gonna walk side by side until that thing that's in the heart of God is birthed through you. Amen? You know, sometimes I'm shocked. You know, you hear these ministries, and they go from one person. I was talking to someone earlier. It goes from a couple hundred or whatever to 10,000. It grows so fast. And we're all amazed at that. And we always feel like such a failure when what we do doesn't. You know what I'm saying? But we have to make sure that we don't despise small beginnings. We have to be faithful with what we have. Amen? And if we're faithful with what we have, then we will see it grow. Amen? I'm not interested in building a big church. I'm interested in building big people. Does that make sense? Because big people do big things. Small people do small things. I'm not talking about physical stature. So if you're short, that's okay. I'm talking about your maturity and who you are in Christ. Amen? Also, remember, if you're new to the church, you want to get to know us a little bit better, we have the growth track. It's 4 lessons that occur over a month. 1, 2, 3, and 4. We're on 2. You can start anywhere. They're all separate lessons. We'll be meeting next door about 15 minutes after service. Please come and join Pastor JR today as he shares. It's so, so important. And you get to know who we are. You get to know our DNA. Why don't we like people selling things? Why do we do things for free? Why do we not allow the materials that speakers come when they come here? Why we don't allow it to be sold? Because then only those that were financially well off could afford some of these things, and that's not fair to you. You know, God doesn't take, he doesn't take the wise things of this world to confound the wise. He takes the foolish things. He takes those that don't have a lot sometimes and have committed everything they have to God and to what he's doing. He takes the heart that is totally sold out and committed and surrendered to him, and he changes the world with these people. Amen? So if you're sitting there going, well, I don't have this, you don't need nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. Jesus came in this world with very little. But him and his 12 disciples, counting, you know, one gone, one added, 12 disciples turned the world upside down. What can we do if we're obedient to God? Amen? I'm kind of doing this in reverse order today, but that's okay. It's all right. We have the vision of this church is that there is a local mega church everywhere we go. That the idea is not to grow and be the mega church. The idea is to recognize the body of Christ in your community and then join with them. Jesus told me when we started this, Holy Spirit, however you want to say it. I mean, it's not like I have visions and Jesus appears to me all the time, but Holy Spirit came and said, my heart, he says, if you don't invest in their garden, they're not going to invest in yours. Someone has to break down and do it first. And so we started feeding the homeless at Chapel Hills. Now, I'm great, great friends with Pastor Peter. Such a great guy. But you see, someone had to go out and say, I'm going to invest in your vision. I went to other churches and I invested in their vision. And now and last year, we brought 52 churches together. Amen? 52 churches. I'm like, to me, that's better than anything. That's better than any personal accolade I could have, right? We bring the body together. We recognize the value of each part. To those that are less comely, we give more honor.
Yes.
More honor. We honor those that are struggling more, so that they too will be brought up into the wholeness and into the body of Christ and their fullness. It's by us accepting and forgiving and loving one another that we can do that. You see, the church has been fractured in America for decades and decades since the beginning. It's time for the church to come together. Stop fighting about the little things. There's a lot of big things that we have to be careful with, obviously, but the little things we don't have to fight over. Sorry, it's not even my message today. I'm just talking from my heart. But I love the pastors so much in this area. I love each and every one. I have the highest opinion of them. They are amazing. And their churches are amazing and their people are amazing. And the great thing about not having a building is I have the opportunity to learn to appreciate them for who they are. Amen. I have to go meet them. I have to work with their people, and it's such a great experience. And they're wonderful. Sorry, go on. That's not my message. We've been going over a series called... Oh, by the way, if you have a prayer request, and for any reason you don't have a... we didn't hand out the cards. I didn't do the connection cards. If you have a prayer request or you want to be notified by the church, go ahead and fill out one of those connection cards. They'll be at the info table at the end. I pray over every prayer card that comes in. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the ability to intercede for others. So we will have those cards available for you, and I just wanted to remember that. Let's just bow our heads. I need grace right now. Heavenly Father, thank you for your amazing, awesome, reckless love at times, Lord. Just this love that just seeks us out, leaves the 99, God. We just receive that love, Father, and we know that we're on a journey. We're on a path that leads to complete and total unity with you, Lord. And we thank you that you are leading and guiding us each and every day. As we speak today, Father, I want to encourage people to make an effort in their lives to walk closer with you in 2019 than ever before. Thank you, Lord. Amen. We've been going through a series called Lights of the World, and it's about being a light in the world. And it's not just about evangelism, it's about being who you were meant to be. I was telling Valentine just earlier, I told her, I said, wherever you are, the kingdom is there. You are a messenger of the kingdom, and you have the ability to break through atmospheres, to break through situations. What God has placed in you, you can release anywhere. And I want to encourage you. I don't know how long we got you, but I want to encourage you with that, all right? You are a kingdom builder. You are amazing. Sometimes our lives and our journeys take us in places we don't know we're going. But God is so good to make sure that no matter where we tread, he is there with us. He is not going to abandon us. He is not going to leave us. And he is never, never, never going to send you into a place where he won't empower you to operate and to overcome. Amen? Today we're talking about cleaning the lens. Have you ever had a flashlight that, I don't know, you're out in the rain, the mud, and you get stuff on it, and you turn on the light, you can barely see it. You can barely see it. You know, it's like sometimes maybe even the batteries are running low, and you turn it on, it's like this orange glow that kind of comes out, and it goes out, right? Well, we can be like that. So the other week when I talked about one another, I talked about how we bring our lights together and we shine brighter. That's what church is about. This, I just read an article recently that talked about how many of the younger millennials are no longer going to church. They don't see the value in being around you. They're living their lives. They're busy. They're looking at their phones. They're watching social media. They feel connected, but they're not in a true relationship with other people. And they're really not growing as individuals as they could be in a community that was dedicated to growth. But they feel as though they don't need what the Bible tells us we need, not to forsake the assembly of yourselves. Because, you know, Jacqueline right here has something I don't have. And I have something she doesn't have. And Ed right there and Nina have things that I don't have. Every one of you have something that I don't have that I need. But if you just stay at your home and watch so-and-so on the TV set, I'll never be able to add what you have to my life. Church is so important. And in this world of social media, we have to be so careful not to allow a false connection to replace the real connection of brotherly love and walking together. Do you feel like... This is the questions I wrote on my thing here. So the title today is Clean the Lens. We're talking about cleaning the lens, getting the dirt off, seeing things the way they really are, and being able to deal with it with the fullness of the light that's in you. So it says, do you feel like your dimmer's on? Do you turn on your light, but it's hard to see? Do you feel like you have things holding you back from being your best? perhaps it's time to clean the lens. And today we're going to talk about restoring the foundations. Now, we just had a training, didn't we, Kathy? How many people were trained at the training meeting? Okay, I just got how many? Five people. So five people. We have, how many people are trained in RTF in this room right here, right now? You've had some training. Look around the room. There are people here who want to help you grow and clean the lens of your life. To understand that there is an enemy and that he desires to stop you from being your best. And he's got a lot of different resources in his hands. He's got a lot of ways. He's been doing this for thousands of years. And he's a lot better at doing what he does than sometimes we are doing what we're supposed to be doing. And we have to recognize that. One thing you never do in a contest is underestimate your opponent. You always make sure that you give them the full respect. We need to make sure the enemy, not the full respect in who and what he is, but the full respect of how he can hinder us from being what we're called to be. We have to understand that he has a strategy and that he's trying to hold every one of you back from becoming your best in Christ. Amen? And you cannot allow that to happen. And there are tools. There has been revelation that's come down. And Chester and Betsy Kelstra came up with a great... Matter of fact, I've been through a lot of different of the different deliverance general category, deliverance ministries, sanctification ministries, and they're all great. But I feel like when I was introduced to RTF, I was introduced to something that really was more comprehensive in nature. It checked all the boxes that you need to go through and check those boxes in your life, because there are things that the enemy has planted in your life and you don't even know they're there. Now, one of the examples I can give you is Adam and Eve. So, you know, when the serpent came in and deceived Eve, he said, no, you won't. You're not going to die. Did God say that? You're not going to die. Okay, so then on that lie, on that deception, she acted upon it and she gave the fruit to her husband as well, to Adam. You see, we act on the lies that we believe. We act on the lies that we believe. And so if there's something in us that's preventing us from achieving what God wants, it's because we've probably believed in things or allowed things to influence us that take us off the path that God desires us to be on. Does that make sense? So, RTF was created to help remove all the impediments in your life. If you feel like in your life that you've come to a place where you've plateaued, where you're not really growing, then there is probably one of the four areas we're about to speak on that's affecting you and stopping you from growing. And it's by coming together that other people can see the areas in your life that are impeding you from growing in Jesus, amen, from becoming what you are meant to become. Restoring the foundations says there's four sources that the enemy uses to destroy us, to create havoc in our life. Number one is generational sins and resulting curses. Number two is ungodly beliefs. Number three is life hurts, soul wounds. And number four is demonic oppression. These four areas are integrated. They're not separate totally. They're integrated together, but the enemy uses this to hold us down. The last thing that the enemy ever wants you to do is share the hope that's within you. And so everything is designed to stop you from sharing that hope. Shame, blame, there's all sorts of things. Ungodly beliefs. Inability to receive God's love. You see, it's our ability to receive God's love that transforms us from glory to glory. That's why it says in Corinthians, behold. Right? Behold, look at, see. See who you are becoming. The Bible says that in the world we are as Christ, but we're not quite there yet. But we're going from glory to glory. But the problem is, if the enemy can get you to look down, if he can get you to look in your life like, oh no, you, Shane, you know your problems. Come on. Really? Come on, right? Okay. It can hold you back from becoming who you were supposed to become. It's just something that simple. Have you ever had, I remember going to the doctor's one time, a long, long time ago. And he looked at me and goes, well, you know about that, right? And I'm like, not embarrassed to ask him what that is. And I'm like, I don't know. Yeah, sure, I know. See, ignorance just walked out the door. I have no idea. And that played on my mind for years and years and years and years. And finally, I found out it was nothing. But the point was, I believed the lie because I wasn't, because the fear, I wasn't even willing to investigate what it might be. For shame's sake, because I was embarrassed. And I was, and you know, when doctors are looking at you, it's like, they're seeing everything that's wrong with me, you know? And there was nothing, you know, it was nothing. It was, I don't even know what it was, but I thought it was with my heart, and I had my heart checked out years and years later, and they said, your heart's great. So, I don't know, but sometimes we believe the lies. One of the lies that we believe is that our generations before us don't affect us, but they do affect us. The sins of the fathers do affect us. There are patterns that families create. I used to think everyone was like me. And then I became a pastor and found out that everyone has a different experience growing up. They have different family relationships, different norms within those relationships. Different things are normalized that weren't normalized in me. And so seeing that and understanding that everyone comes from a slightly different story, I realized that your family history affects who you are. Very strongly, actually. It really does affect you. And it also affects how you see God. So we're going to go over the first one, generational sins and resulting curses. In Exodus 24 through 6, it says this, You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God. Now, interesting, stop right there. That word jealous is an interesting word. In Hebrew, it means like a mother hen gathers his chicks. It's not in the sense I'm jealous and angry and mad at you. It's like I want to protect you. I'm jealous and I want to protect you from what's going to hurt you. And I'm going to keep you safe where I can oversee you and protect you. And so the word's a little bit different than how we translate it in English. And that's very important because sometimes you read a word like that and you're like, what does that mean? And then it says this, and it's very important that we hear that, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who, and this is very important, who hate me, right? But showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Now, love, as God sees it, love is not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It's not in that moment when you're raptured up in worship. That's not love. Love is when you walk out this door and you follow what you heard. That's what love is. See, that's very important because sometimes we get an idea that love is just an emotional response to something. It's just something we feel emotional. But God says, no, love is being obedient to my commandments. So it's not so much what I say from the pulpit, but it's what the Holy Spirit reinforces in your heart that determines what you should be doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? I can say a lot of things from the pulpit, but Holy Spirit applies it to your life. Sometimes it's a big nothing because it just doesn't apply to you in that moment, in that time. But sometimes Holy Spirit makes a strong, strong conviction in your heart. And that is what you want to pay attention to. That's what you want to take out of this building and implement. Hear this word, implement in your life. Because it's the implementation of these teachings that will help you grow as a Christian. I've met people and they say, you know, I've just been in the Lord for 30 years. I don't feel like I'm growing. Well, maybe it's because you're not obeying what Holy Spirit is applying to your heart. Now, what your pastor is saying, your pastor presents a teaching. Holy Spirit applies it to your life. Jesus said, you don't need any teachers. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Comforter. He said that in John, right? But he wasn't saying we don't need teachers or the rest of the New Testament doesn't make any sense. Of course we need teachers. But the Holy Spirit is the ultimate implementer within your life of what you hear. I'm not responsible whether you obey or don't obey what God is telling you in your heart when you walk out of this door. You're responsible for that. although I am responsible for what I teach. So sinful patterns that are established in a family line are reinforced by the enemy from generation to generation. And I put here, the cycle must be broken. So these generational sins and the resulting curses come. And people say, well, I'm in Christ. I've been born again. I'm a new creature. You know, Galatians 3:13, he became a curse for me on the tree. I'm not cursed anymore. You know, you have to reinforce that. Because I've seen too many Christians where their parents were alcoholics and then they became alcoholics. I've seen too many times where people were born again, but their family sins were still affecting their life. This is practical experience. This isn't some theological debate. This is what really happens. And so you have to be proactive in breaking the sins and the curses. And it's very important because the Bible tells us, even in Leviticus 26:40, but if they confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers, notice not just theirs, but the iniquity of their fathers and their treachery that they have committed against me, also walking contrary to me. If we understand that we are responsible to repent of the sins of our fathers, of our generational lines, in order to make sure God knows that we break the chain. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. But how many people know when people come to Jesus, it is a process of sanctification that frees them? It's not this immediate moment. I love it if it was. I wish people, when they got saved, were just like full-blown, maturing Christians ready to go. That would make my job so much easier. They're not. So we have to take care of these things. We have to reinforce what Jesus has done. We have to accept it. It has to be truth. It has to be who we are. We can address the generational legacy of iniquity affecting us. That's what I want you to know. We have the tools to do this. In Colossians 2:13 through 15, it says this, and you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcised of your flesh, God made alive through him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, all of them, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal, get this, with its legal demands. Your sin have legal demands. And if you don't get rid of that in your life, those demands continue on. Now, Jesus took it all, but you have to reinforce that. How many of you have, like, because you all have, so don't raise your hands, but how many of you have sinned, have repented of a sin over and over and over and over again? Why? Didn't God hear you the first time? Didn't he forgive you? Isn't he faithful to forgive our sins? But you're reinforcing that truth in your heart. You're establishing that truth. I am forgiven. I am forgiven. See what I'm saying? See, we have to establish those truths. It's not so much that we're asking Jesus to do more work. He's already done everything. He said it on the cross. It's finished. He's nothing more for him to do. He's now in heaven. He's done his work. He's done everything he needs to do. We have to reinforce it in our lives. That's why you have to take an action. That's why you have to confess things. That's why you have to say things. That's why you need to understand that there are legal demands that need to be addressed from time to time, because all of a sudden you don't feel forgiven. And you start acting on that untruth. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Amen? Next verse. And this one I love. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Here's the thing. We take the things we were forgiven for originally and we take it outside of him. We need to bring it back into him where there is the forgiveness of sins. Do you understand? I could go on just in that one section for hours, but I can't. I can't. Can't do it. Ungodly beliefs, Hebrews 6:18. Now, this is amazing. So I went through RTF intensive. So it was like a week long, and it was amazing. You know, at first I was in there, I was like, You know, they're going to want to know all my sins. I feel like it's like the E-meter in Scientology, right? They just want to know everything so they can blackmail you. And I'm like, they're going to expose me. They're going to make me feel so bad that I don't want to do that. But when I went into it, it was the most amazing experience. And I was shocked. I forgot how many tens of ungodly beliefs I was actively engaged with in my life. I was operating on lies in my life. Now, there's a lot of lies, like, you're not good at this, you're not a good pastor, you're not a good... There's so many lies that we live with every day, and it affects the way we serve God. It affects the way that we interface with God. You know, we all think everyone's just like us, but we're not. We're not the same. There's a lot of people that have different feelings and different experiences in their lives, and it creates a different relationship. We transpose unto God, right? All sorts of things that isn't in his nature or character. God loves us so much. He knew what a mess you were when he accepted you. He's like, challenge accepted. Challenge accepted. He accepted you the way you are. I love that. Challenge accepted. Okay, God. I don't want to make too much of a challenge, but okay, let's go. Challenge accepted. So when I came to the Lord and I started writing down, they were talking to me and they were taking notes. And I'm going like, what are they writing? You know, it's like when you go to a therapy person, like, what are they writing, right? You know, that's about me. What are you writing? And they wrote down this list of just the ones that they initially found of all my ungodly beliefs. I had so many ungodly beliefs that it's even amazing I knew God. And I was a pastor of a 2,000-member church. So, you know, there you go. It's amazing what we don't realize we believe. We believe little things in our life, just little seeds that grow. And those seeds grow and they create a stronghold in our life. Those little lies. See, lies, Jesus came and he sowed the word, right? We know that by the parable of the sower, that the seed was the word of God that brings life to us. The enemy is also sowing. He's also sowing. He's sowing lies into your life to distract you and stop you from becoming who you are meant to become. You can't do it. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. All these little lies. Remember that one sin? Oh, yeah. Disqualified. It's he that calls that qualifies, by the way, just so you know. I don't have time to combat every ungodly belief, but let me talk about this. Hebrews 6:18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. What we have to understand as we walk with God, that's impossible for him to lie. So whatever he tells you is truth. Amen. And unlike certain generations, there is absolute truth. And God is the absolute truth. And everything else is a lie. And when God tells you and gives you a word in your life, that's truth that you can hold on to. That's truth that you can apply. That's truth that you need to establish in your heart. Don't water the lies, water the truth. Amen. Too much watering of lies going on in the Christian body right now. You're not good enough. You'll never make it. You got all the lies, 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 all the lies are building up in you. And you know what? It's like maybe you were called to plant a church. Maybe you were called to start a ministry. Maybe you were called to be a deliverance minister. Maybe you were called to do something, but the enemy has got you believing that you're disqualified.
Come on, Pastor.
And if he's done that, he's done his job. He didn't have to do anything else. If you feel like in your life you've plateaued out, you're not getting any better, you're not growing, your ministry's not growing, then you've believed a lie. Because there is no plateau. Unless I call you Jesus, you haven't plateaued yet, okay? Because that's what you're becoming, just like him. I'm not saying you're being Jesus. I'm saying like him. I haven't confused myself with Jesus in the mirror yet, not once. I got a lot of room to grow. We who have fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. God is absolute truth, I wrote here. Accepting his truth will set you free. In Romans 12:1, it tells us how to get the lies out. And I love this so much. So we're just going to start from Romans 1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice. The first thing he says is, man, stop thinking you're the solution. Surrender your body, surrender yourself to God as a living sacrifice. You are not the power that will transform your life. But there is a power. Holy and acceptable God, which is your spiritual worship. Our worship is surrender. You know, the actual worship in Hebrew means to bow down. To bow down to God. To surrender to Him. That is what worship is. It's in that surrender that God can build you. Verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, that's a huge word. Transformed means taking something and changing it into something new. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is a battlefield up here. Pew, 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 pew. Pew, 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 pew. There's a battlefield right between these ears. And every day the enemy's telling you why you're disqualified. Every day the enemy tells you there's no hope. Every day the enemy says, well, almost. So close. Almost made it. But you just better shut up and just stay at home. See, the enemy is constantly coming against us. And the thing is, you can't shut him up, though. That's just it. I wish I could just say a prayer and say, devil, never speak to me again. He just laughs because I don't have that authority. I have authority over his power, but I don't have authority over his choice. I'll explain that later in a moment. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by the testing you may discern. Now look at that, by what? Testing. Do you ever test anything? Or you just accept whatever you hear? Do you test it with the Word of God? Do you test it with the absolute truth? Or do you take this out and go, what does the Bible say about me? Because this describes who you are. That's why we try to read through the Bible. By the way, those who have never gotten their mugs, they're coming for 2 years at once. We've already got them designed. They're done. I'll explain to you later someday. But if you got to go sign up for your mugs if you read through the Bible. Every year, I encourage people to read this. Why? Because no matter what I preach, this is where it comes from. And this is the source. Now look, it's how the Holy Spirit applies this to you that changes your life, right? But you got to put it in here first before you can get down here. If you're not putting it here, then what are you doing? You know, it's a pretty good book. You know, I want to go up there and say, I read that many times every year. God is so important to get that in you so that you can defend yourself. I love the fact that when Jesus was attacked by the enemy, he defended himself by quoting the word. Turn these rocks into bread. And he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, right? So, you know, the word is what transforms your mind and allows your heart to be transformed and come to a place of maturity. So you have to test things, and the way you test it is by the written word of God and by your discernment in the spirit. What is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? The way we break free from the bondage of this world is by transformational power of the renewing of our minds with God's word. That's what I wrote. Transformational, transforming. I love that word. Of course, I like Transformers, Autobots in disguise. No, never mind. Life's hurts. Okay, so that is ungodly beliefs. And that's how you get rid of ungodly beliefs, by saturating yourself with the word of God and by knowing it. Not just skipping through it and doing Evelyn fast reading routine, but actually absorbing what it says. And some sections of the Bible are much more important than others. Son of, that's wonderful. Historians love it. I need the truth of what Jesus said. I go to the red stuff all the time. I like red words, so those are good things. Life hurts. You know, a lot of us don't like to admit that we're hurt. I cannot tell you how many people I have counseled that told me that I was hurt in a church. Going, a bunch of broken people get together and someone gets hurt. Really? Really? But it's your ability to get through your hurts. You know, there's always going to be somebody, you're rubbing up against imperfection. When you rub up against imperfection, you're not going to get a perfect response. So you have to kind of give people grace. Give each other grace. Learn to love one another. Learn to value what is in people and not just the things that are broken, but to value the potential in everyone you meet. My desire is to see everyone the way Jesus sees them. Isn't that a great thing to see people the way Jesus sees them? Because there's so many people out there that judge you so quickly. You're this, you're that. And I just want to see people the way Jesus sees them. Because if I can do that, I think that would be a very cool thing. All right. Life hurts. Exodus 15:26, saying, if you will diligently listen to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in his eyes and give ear to his commandments and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you that I put on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord your healer. God desires to heal us. But we have to give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes. Now, does that mean we have to follow a rule book? No, what it means is, in the New Testament, we have to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not like you write down all 613 laws of the Old Testament and try to live them. That's the law. We're under grace. You have to follow the Spirit of God. Amen? How many of you have been nudged by the Holy Spirit and didn't do what he asked? Put your hands down. Y'all, everyone that didn't raise their hands, you're either not born again yet or you're seeing Jesus in the mirror. One or the other, I don't know. The fact is, we all need that, and we all need to obey him. And it's in that he brings our healing, amen? In Isaiah 61:1, it says, the Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison of those who are bound. Jesus and, by extension, his kingdom and everyone in it, these are our working orders. That's our working orders. We are to bind up the brokenhearted. We're not to break them some more. We're to bind them up. We are to proclaim liberty to the captives. We are to tell them, man, that God wants to set them free through Jesus Christ. We want to open up the prison those are bound. I just love telling people they're forgiven. Don't you? I love telling people, you know what? God forgives you. God forgives you. God loves you. God accepts you. I love that. I love when God uses me to do that towards people, to reaffirm it from a physical person to them, because it's what the Spirit is saying, but they don't believe it because there's so many lies that are supporting it, so many other lies that are structurally supporting so many other lies that they can't even hear those words. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. I said the words of my thing here, but... The works of the enemy, auto spell check, okay. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy in our lives. And destroy the words of, actually, that's actually pretty good too. Maybe I'm just going to go with it and say I thought that in the beginning. Okay, the last area, the fourth area today is demonic oppression. And 1 Peter 5:8 says this. I'm going to tell you a little vision I had when I get done reading this verse. But it says in 1 Peter, it says, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Okay, so Friday night I was in a meeting, and I was just sitting there. It's an inward vision. And I saw this roaring lion, right? And I saw this hand come down and pull the lion's face off. Now, it wasn't Jesus. This lion didn't look good. It looked powerful and evil, but it didn't look good. And when the hand came and pulled the face off, this is just a vision. The Lord gave me, I saw nothing but worms inside of it. Isn't that gross? But that's what led me to believe. You see, he comes around as a roaring lion. He comes around with this idea that he's the king of beasts. But he's not the king of beasts. He's just full of worms. And everything he has to say is wormy. And nobody likes a bunch of wormy worms, unless you're a fisherman. And then you just stick them on a hook anyway. So here was this lion full of worms. So everything, so he prowls around like a roaring lion. He's trying to intimidate you. He's trying to put fear in your life. He's trying to cause you to bow down to his will. He's trying to destroy you. He's trying to steal from you. He's trying to kill you. Ultimately, he wants to take your life. And he's like a roaring lion, but he's not a roaring lion. Because there is a lion, the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he roars. So much better than this ugly thing did. But this one will lie to you. He will tell you everything that's not in this Bible. And he'll say, did God say? Is that what he said? Really? And if you don't know the word of God, you don't know. You're like, I don't know. Maybe I am kind of defective. Maybe I'm just not quite right. Maybe I won't make it. Maybe I'm not the one, you know. Maybe I'm not the chosen. Many are called, few. Maybe I'm just not chosen. See, the enemy will come and lie to you, and he'll tell you that you're not the one. But you are Neo.
Hallelujah.
You know, you ever watch Matrix? Yeah. Neo, you are Neo. Okay, my daughter in Alabama had to tell me 10 years after I watched the movie that that was one spelled differently. O-N-E. Oh, yeah, okay. You are the one. You are the one that God's called. You are his child. You are his. But the enemy tries to oppress you through fear. Fear, not just fear of going to hell or dying or anything like that. Fear that you're not the one. That you're not the one God called, that you're not God's chosen, that you didn't make it, that you're one of those that's going to fall away and just into the darkness forever. And God says, you're the one. You're not going to fall. And if you do, you're going to get right back up. But you're going to make it. In Mark 16, 17, it says this. I love this. It says, all these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. You see, when you identify the enemy in your life, you have the right to cast him out. You have the right to get rid of him. You may not be able to shut him up, but you sure can shut him down. You hear what I'm saying? You can shut him down in your life, in your decisions. You can deny the seeds of his lies. You can determine that, no, the word of God is true. I'm not giving in to that lie. You have the power. Last verse. I know you guys couldn't wait. I'm going a little late. Luke 10, 17 through 20. The 72 returned. So Jesus sent out the 72. And they went out two by twos with no cloaks, you know, all that stuff. And they great miracles. All demons came out of people. All sorts of wonderful things happened. And the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. But then he says something amazing to him. That's amazing, but we can't go into that right now. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Now here, there's so much in this. First of all, if you're fighting power, don't you want power? But God doesn't say that he gave you power, does he? The Lord didn't say. He says, I give you authority. Which means what? Use your power. I'm telling you, you have the legal right to use your power. The power that you have already received. The power that is in you. The power of God in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have the power. So there was this case. I've always worked in deliverance. I don't know why deliverance is. I have a strong faith in deliverance. And people remember this, that are at that prayer meeting. There's a couple of people who were at our prayer meeting, and they had demons, and they were manifesting because of this guest speaker. And he knew how to rile them up, but he wasn't quite sure what to do with them once he got them there. And so a lot of people were praying for him, And I'm not trying to brag about myself. I want you to understand this. I want to tell you why it works with me. And so I'm sitting in there, I'm listening to him, I'm kind of watching him. My thing is not worried about the people that are struggling in there. And they're flipping around, throwing up on the floor and stuff like that. Just a couple, and they're beautiful women. Don't get me wrong, they're beautiful ladies. It's just that they had demons that had to come out, and that's just the way it was. And so I'm sitting there, I'm talking to this guy. He's left the room. So he stirs them all up, and then he comes in and sits down with me. And I'm like, what are you doing here? You started that, you go finish that. You're talking about the power and the glory. It's not time to shut up and put up, you know, is the way we used to say it. And he's just, you know, he's just talking, and the people are in there, and they're praying. He's like, finally he came and said, Pastor Jay, would you come and help us? Now, look it, I've failed. I can tell you times where it didn't work for me, so don't think that this all, but I know who I am in Christ in this area. Amen. I have a clear revelation of my authority over demons. And so I walked in the room, and it took me about 2 seconds in each one to get them out. Now, I'm not saying that to brag. I'm saying, look it, these disciples were so happy that demons were coming, that Jesus taught them a lesson. And this is what I want you to get. I give you authority. You got the power. I give you authority over all the power. Some of the power of the enemy, all the power of the enemy. You can't cast out a demon with someone that, if they're friends with it. They just invite it back in. So don't waste your time. But if there's someone that actually wants to get rid of it, I've had people come in with demons. They just wanted to show off and get attention. They had no desire for that demon to leave them. You can pray for them until you're blue in the face. It ain't going nowhere. But if someone truly wants to get rid of them, how do you know? This is not time for this. I'll do it quick. How do you know whether you ask them, do you want this thing in you? And if the thing tries to speak to you, then you say, no. I'm speaking, call them by name. Call the person by name. Speak to the person. I know Jesus spoke to the demons. Don't speak to the demons. Speak to the person. Do you want this thing? No. That's all you need. Now your power and authority are in full force. And now you lead them in rejecting that demon. Once they reject the demon, you just command it to leave and it goes. It's not the exorcist. Their head doesn't go 360 degrees. I know, disappointing, right? Demons don't really like to show their heads in America because, well, they can do so much work undercover, they don't need to. But when they do, that's how you deal with them. Okay, so I have given you authority to tread on serpents and demons and over all the power of the enemy. I used to say, man, why did you give us authority? Because you have the power. And nothing what shall hurt you. That demon can't come back. I know people are always talking about, you know, like they get backlash and stuff. Not me, not when I cast out a demon. They just go. And they don't have a choice. They're defeated. When Jesus said it was finished, they were over. He made an open display. He put them to shame. I just remind them that they were put to shame. Yes. See what I'm saying? And then I use my authority that Christ alone gives me to operate in the gifts that Christ has given me to operate in. You have that same authority. You have all the power. That's why I don't like when ministers say, you know, like, oh, look at them. They're so powerful. No, you got the same thing. Yeah. You got the same power. Yeah. You just don't believe it yet. If you believe it, you'll operate in it. If you operate in it, you'll see things happen. This wasn't supposed to be about casting out demons, but there you go. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject. Now, this is so important. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Now, listen, this is the most important lesson that he's telling them right here. He says, don't rejoice in that, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Why? Because that's your identity. And you operate your ministry through your identity. If your identity is off, your ministry is off. Your authority and power are off. Everything's off. It's all through that. So he says, don't rejoice in the devils. Don't get caught up in the show. You're there to represent me. And your names are written in my book. And you're there representing me. Make sure that stays your focus. Keep you humble. There's humility in this. It's not like you're, you know, once you cast out a devil, it's like, dun, 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 Superman. Now, I don't rejoice in that. I'm glad they come out. I'm glad that I have that revelation, but you can have it too. Anyone can have it. I should never have to be called up and said, Pastor David, come over here. We need someone that's a higher power. You're a pastor. Don't need that. You know, they'll sit there and go, oh, wait a minute. They brought Pastor David. Oh, God. That's not what they do. They're not impressed with titles. They're impressed with whether I am assured of my identity. You know, when those demons in Acts, when they were attacking those seven sons of Sceva, came and they tossed them all over and took their clothes and the devil sent them running. They came and preached in the name of the Jesus that Paul preaches. They didn't know whether they were in the book of life. They didn't know who they were. And they got their butts kicked. And I love what the demon said. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. But who? Who are you? Run, buddy. Run. I actually had a demon say that to me once. It's kind of funny. I said, I'm David. But I said it with the idea that of the knowledge of who I was in Christ. See, you don't have to. It's about how you say it. But that just shut the demon up. It was over. I said, yeah, I'm David. I'm a child of God. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I didn't sit there and go, and I'm a pastor. Not impressive. Okay, so here's the last three things I'm going to leave you with for today. First, Satan is defeated. Never operate towards Satan thinking that he has power to defeat you. He is a defeated foe. Always come into a situation, RTF or anywhere you come into it knowing that you are coming against a defeated foe. Sometimes a defeated foe can fight the hardest, but you still have to know that he's defeated. Second, you have authority over all the power of the enemy. It is never a close match. I never go and say, ooh, this demon's going to be tough. I never say that. Never even comes into my head. Ooh, this, because it's the same power that Jesus walked with. I'm just operating on his behalf. I'm just a representative. It's the same power. So it don't matter. It don't matter if it's Satan himself. It doesn't matter who it is. If I'm operating under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that devil's coming out. But you see, if you doubt it, if you come up there doubting, you're going to have a long night. Better go watch the Exorcist movie and catch up on your reading, because it ain't going to go well. If you have to go in there knowing that this is not even a close match. I don't ever look at a demon and go like, ooh, I hope I got it today. I've got it every day because I got Jesus. I've got it every day. I don't want this to sound like bragging. I'm just using myself as an example, but I want you to know you got this. Man, when something happens, don't doubt. Don't sit there and go, ooh, oh, this is going to be a struggle. There's no struggle. It's not ever a close match. It's never close. It's not this harrowing, nail-biting movie you watch on TV. It's not like that at all. It's like, you're a devil and you're leaving now. Third, your name is written in heaven. Remember who, like you said, remember who you are. Remember who you are in Christ. If you don't, it won't work. You see? All right. Bow your heads. Father, there is over 100-something anointed children of God in this room right now, Lord. Give them a revelation of who they are in Christ. Let their faith be certain about the fact that their name is written in heaven. Your legacy, your memorial, your bio is written in heaven. It's written in heaven. Think about that. It's written in heaven. It's already there. It's established. And it will not fail. I mean, there is so much revelation there. Jesus said, it's written in heaven that you will accomplish all these things. Matter of fact, Jesus said, these good works were prepared in advance for you to do them. They were prepared in advance that you would do these good works. that you would overcome and bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. The whole earth is waiting for the revelation of God's sons, daughters. He's waiting for us to stand up and be the person we are called to be. At Firepoint, we're saying, come on, stand up, do what you're called to do. Yes, you might fail, but get back up, because God isn't through until you succeed. If you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but I don't know. Let me tell you this. Of all the world, of all the religions, only one says that the only way that you can make it is to surrender everything and trust on the one who died for you. That it's only by grace, through faith, that you can be saved. That today, the Bible tells us, is the day of salvation. Until Jesus returns, till the history is over, today is the day of salvation. When you go out this church, be assured of your salvation. Be assured of your identity in Christ. Know that by saying a simple prayer and surrendering yourself to God, your name will be written in heaven. And you can begin the journey of knowing God's love, His faithfulness in the hardest of times, and His blessings throughout your life. If that's you today and you've never received Jesus, I want you right now to pray with us with all your heart and accept Him as your Lord and see what He does on your behalf. Know that He is there to give you what He gives everyone, all that He is. All He asks is that you stop trying to prove yourself on your own merits. If that's you, if you're here today and you're saying, I want to do it God's way, then say this prayer with all of us. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me, for forgiving me, and for empowering me. I repent of all my sins, all my wrong actions, all my wrong thoughts. And I ask that your Son, Jesus Christ, be my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, thank you for not abandoning me. Thank you for loving me, forgiving me, and accepting me today. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm going to ask if anyone said that from your heart and said it for the first time or made a significant recommitment. I'm going to ask you to be a person of courage and to act on that. On that prayer, to act on it by raising your hand at the count of three. Show heaven that you meant what you said in the count of three. One, two, three. Raise those hands high. Let me see. I see those hands. I see those. I see those. We have, I don't know, six, seven hands here up. Let's give the Lord a clap. Glory to God. Woo! Stand up with me as I dismiss you. Remember that next door we have the growth track. Father, I thank you that these are mighty warriors. Father, I declare and decree over them that they will not be deceived by the enemy, but they will walk in wholeness. I pray, Lord, that those that need it will go sign up for Restoring the Foundations RTF right now at the table in the back. Father, that we might be fully equipped, that every lie of the enemy be exposed in our life, that we might walk in greater and greater light, that we may clean the lens, that we may see and shine clearly and brightly. Father, anoint these to go forth and to take the truths they heard today, apply them to their heart, and use them in life every day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We have a prayer team up here. We'll see you.